And now, meet the press. The guest, because of the heightening interest in civil defense due to the Berlin crisis, is Frank B. Ellis, President Kennedy's chief advisor on civil defense and related matters. Our panel consists of Peter Braestrup of the New York Times, May Craig, the Portland, Maine Press Herald, Peter Hackus, NBC News, and Lawrence E. Spivak. Now here is our moderator, Ned Brooks.
To meet the press, our guest today is the President's Chief Advisor on the Total Civil Defense Program, Mr. Frank B. Ellis, Director of the Office of Emergency Planning. Mr. Ellis is one of three statutory members of the National Security Council. And now here's the first question from Lawrence E. Spivak, permanent member of the Meet the Press panel.
Mr. Ellis, if we had a nuclear attack today or in the weeks ahead, do you think there are many Americans who would know what to do?
I think that the number that would be very limited who would know what to do under existing circumstances.
Now, the president in July of this year said that in the coming months he would let every citizen know what steps he could take without delay to protect his family in case of attack. Now, as one of the president's chief advisors, will you tell us whether we've already been given this information or whether we're yet to get it?
A great deal of the information, Mr. Spivak, has been disseminated to the public. 30 million pamphlets setting up minimum criteria for shelter construction have been distributed. And these include radiological devices for measuring radioactive fallout and can include minimum medical care and other matters that the public should know about.
And yet you say that as of today, the public is not properly informed and is not ready to do the things that it ought to do.
I think the public is beginning very rapidly to be informed. And I think before the first of the year, within the next 60 days, that the public, that everyone, will have a definite and substantial knowledge about what they should do in emergency.
Mr. Ellis, is it true, as has been reported, that a new federal policy on civil defense is in the works?
That is certainly true, sir.
And when can we expect it?
Well, the federal policy, as a matter of fact, has already been inaugurated and resulted from the president's injunction of July the 25th, wherein the principal functions of the civil defense operation were transferred to the Department of Defense. And since that time, both the Department of Defense and the Office of Emergency Planning, under the guidance of the President of the United States, has been rapidly developing plans for public information and for public action.
Mr. Ellis, the Washington Post the other day in an editorial had this to say, and I quote, "The country must have a better thought out, better planned program for sheltering its citizens against nuclear attack. What it has now is really no program at all." End of quote. What's your answer to that criticism?
I respectfully disagree with that. As a matter of fact, I think the program which the Department of Defense has recommended by us to the President some months ago is a very excellent program and the best thing that could possibly be done in the limited time of the present emergency.
Mr. Ellis, the administration's shelter program, outlined by administration spokesman, is designed to provide shelter space for 50 million Americans, one-fourth of the population. Do you personally believe that shelter can be provided for the remaining 75% of the population on a purely voluntary basis, or do you think some other federal program is required?
I have been startled by the Republic response to the President's message. I am inclined to feel that there has never been any affirmative federal example in years gone by. Today, President Kennedy has given us that affirmative example, and the public response has been tremendous. Our mail today is running 100,000 letters a month, as opposed to 3,000 in January of this year. And I feel that the public will respond to the president's appeal and do something on their own.
Well, several religious leaders have condemned the idea, which apparently has been endorsed by the president, of depending so heavily on do-it-yourself home shelter building. They say that this sets neighbor against neighbor, discriminates against the poor, and discriminates also against people who may be renting quarters and cannot build shelters of their own. Are you taking measures to buttress this program, or do you agree with these criticisms? How do you stand on that?
I disagree with the criticism, and I think that any program must have a genesis. And in that genesis, I think there are going to be many ideas advanced. There are going to be many criticisms of it. But on the whole, the federal program, which in a nutshell involves the marking and the surveying of all existing shelters in all available buildings throughout the nation, and we feel from the pilot surveys that have been made that this will result in the location and marking of approximately 50 million availability. That is, this federal example disseminates itself throughout the nation, that public response will be tremendous.
Well, what about private funds, Mr. Ellis? You can have a public response and yet no more shelters get built.
Private response is a difficult problem. But today, as I've traveled over the United States, I feel that people are anxious to proceed with the development of individual shelters in their own homes. Some are moving along with community shelters, whole blocks joining together to build these. In the state of Washington, I find that in the urban sectors, they're giving money to the rural areas for shelters in order that they might be able to evacuate into these areas if there was sufficient notice. Mrs. Craig.
Yeah. Mr. Ellis, President Kennedy has apparently adopted the usual United States principle that we will not fire the first shot in the war. Does that mean that you are tied down to a civil defense that recognizes that the people of this country must take the first nuclear blow?
That is a military matter which I would not wish to discuss. I do believe that our leaders on the conference tables of the world today, as they approach this matter, would be much more stronger in their position and much more affirmative did they deal from a protected population.
Well, may I ask, what kind of an attack you are going to plan for? Will it be fire and blast and radiation or poison gases and biological? Or what is it going to be that you're going to plan to meet in this shelter program?
There are many hypotheses that might be developed as a type of attack the Soviet bloc might take in the event that war should come to this country, and God forbid that it ever would. The type of attack might well be an attack upon target centers in order to impair our retaliatory capacity, and not a saturation attack upon cities. Therefore, in such a case, a vast number of millions of people of our population would have considerable notice as fallout was carried by prevailing winds throughout the country, and would be able to protect themselves by even nominal shelter development.
Well, I notice that you put out a bulletin which said the national security requires that there be soundly conceived and well-tested plans for every emergency. Does that mean you've got to be prepared to meet all of these various possibilities?
We are planning now to do the thing that will save the largest amount of people in the shortest period of time. The Department of Defense, with its far-flung organization of United States Engineers, Bureau of Yards and Docks, are moving very rapidly to develop this program and to make available these 50 million shelters. And may I say to you today that it may be more than that as we develop the problem of ventilation.
I'd like to ask you another thing. Most people will be at work downtown where the shelters are, perhaps in your existing facilities or buildings. The children will be at school. But how about at home? Do we have to have a double system of home shelters and downtown and at work shelters too?
I think we've got to do the best that we can under initial circumstances, branching out from that as rapidly as possible with well-formulated plans to cover the total population.
Mr. Hackus.
Mr. Ellis, in recent weeks, we've heard a great deal about the revival of interest in the civil defense program. How many shelters do you feel there now are in existence or being constructed in this country?
From an individual point of view, I believe that there is a great beginning. As far as estimating the exact number, I would not be able to say. It has been, in months gone by, less than 1% of the total population. Today, I think that's rapidly increasing, and I think it will continue to increase as the impact of this executive program is felt.
Well, this would seem to indicate to me a need for driving home the need for the very vital aspect of your program. And yet we hear every day conflicting reports from people in top positions. Just the other day, Mr. Eisenhower said that he didn't feel he wanted a shelter. In fact, he would walk out of one. I believe that's the quote that he used. How are you going to persuade people when you have differences even at the top levels? And incidentally, wouldn't it be a good idea, as a matter of fact, to build Mr. Eisenhower a shelter in Gettysburg?
Mr. Eisenhower is a great patriot. I think he would do what he felt was for the best interest of the country. And as I understood his statement, he stated that he would build a shelter if he felt it wouldn't excite his neighbors and cause them some concern.
Well, you have said many times that this is pretty much of a need for everybody, and I'm just wondering how you're going to persuade everybody when someone, on the other hand, is saying he doesn't think that it's a good idea, that it might scare people.
I don't think you can persuade everybody, but if we can save the mass of the population of America, if there is a Soviet attack which is designed or aimed at target centers, then there's 100 million people in this nation that can protect themselves from radioactive fallout and will have sufficient notice to do so.
Well, I'd like to ask you along these same lines. You're asking many millions of Americans to expend a certain number of dollars, be it 50 or 3 or 4,000. Isn't there some way going to have to be devised to help people on this? This is a lot of money for most people.
Your program, as it proceeds, may develop certain incentives, certain programs. The Department of Defense is giving this great, grave, and earnest consideration.
What types of incentives is what I was thinking of?
I frankly do not know exactly what the Department of Defense has under consideration, but there are many things that can be done that will place shelters, I believe, within the reach of the poorer families throughout America. And those are the families that President Kennedy is anxious to help in this crisis.
Would you think a tax concession to families and companies or to encourage them to build shelters would be in order?
I think that planning is now in gestation, and I am convinced that some form of tax incentives, such as rapid write-offs to industrial and commercial operators, might be in order, and there might be some plan developed that other incentives could be made available. Already, the Department of Defense, in consultation with the FHA, is made available to the public throughout America long-term loans at very reasonable rates of interest.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Ellis, do you believe that our survival as a nation may depend upon our shelter program?
I would say, sir, in a nuclear attack, without a protected population, that while we might retaliate to destroy the Soviet Union, that this nation would suffer irreparable injury.
I believe you've said that you think that our survival as a nation may be dependent upon our shelter program.
I think it's very, don't you, a very
don't you
critical
still,
cause.
Don't you still believe that? Because I think you've said we're dealing with the survival of a nation. Now, if that is so, why shouldn't there be a public program for building shelters? Just as we build bombs, as we build planes, as we build weapons of defense.
I am convinced that as we progress in this program, beginning as we have with a very affirmative approach, that it may be necessary to go into the area which you mentioned, Mr. Spivak. At this time, let us begin, and we have begun in a strong and vibrant way.
Do you yourself say that we only have about, we've been at this civil defense business now for almost 10 years, and you say that less than 1% of the population is protected today. How long do you think it's going to take before the Defense Department makes its survey? They're not even to report until 1962, the end of 62. How long before they do anything about it?
Well, I think it's going to be considerably less time, and as a matter of fact, they're ahead of schedule. I am convinced that under the previous administration, it was somewhat felt that a defense program might be provocative, and I think General Eisenhower echoed that note in his recent statement. There was a complete lack of available funds for a program to be carried out, but today that's not true. Today, the interest, as I have just told you, among the public, among the commercial interests, among the businessmen, is outstanding.
Mr. Ellis, have you built a shelter? I haven't, and very few people I know have. Have you built a shelter?
I have three homes, Mr. Spivak, one in Florida, which has been examined by engineers in order to determine what should be done, but nothing has been started there. I have a home in New Orleans where my shelter has begun, and a rented home here in the city of Washington, which also we have begun and have already stocked with essential materials.
You've spent 10 months studying this problem, and you know about the number of shelters that already have been built. Do you seriously believe that this country will ever have a decent shelter program unless the federal government or unless the state governments do it?
I am convinced that the federal government, in going into the program they're now going into, is a decent program. As a matter of fact, I think it's outstanding. And I think when you are able to mark 50 million shelters, or if you develop the ventilation system as the DOD is working on today, that number might be materially increased. And I think really that federal example is going to set in motion a chain of circumstances that will bring about group shelters by people all over America and individual family shelters in large numbers.
Mr. Braestrup.
Governor Rockefeller in New York the other day announced that he would ask the legislature in that state to pass a bill extending state financial aid to every school and college in the state that put fallout shelters in its buildings. This seems to be a more ambitious program in some ways than that undertaken by the federal government. He also provided for taking care of shelters for 97,000 state employees. Is the federal government eventually going to wind up following Governor Rockefeller's example?
The federal government has been responsible for the installation for the second seat of government in Albany. We have backed that and have made available matching funds to Governor Rockefeller for the installation of that protective shelter, which is now in process of construction. More than that, each state has its own individual problems. And I am glad to see this school situation developed by Governor Rockefeller. And it is under study by the federal government at the present time.
Well, you're thinking of extending the same kind of aid to schools throughout the country?
Well, I think you have a slightly different problem when you're dealing at a national level than when you're dealing at a state level. But I am convinced that the DOD is going to give this very serious consideration. Schools are centrally located. Our children are critically important to President Kennedy and to our entire administration. Therefore, we want to see them protected.
How much do you think a program to shelter everyone in the United States would cost? Some estimates have ranged up to $20 billion, about half the Pentagon's annual budget. What would your estimate be?
Well, I have made a study of it, of course, but Chet Hollifield, who heads the subcommittee, which investigates and has taken a very active position of leadership, and he estimates that $20 billion made available at $5 billion a year would give an adequate community shelter program financed solely by the federal government throughout the nation.
Mr. Ellis, that's approximately the same amount of money that the government has committed itself to spend on the sending of a man to the moon. And many people are now saying that that $20 billion could be more properly spent on the civil defense program. What's your view of that?
Well, I think we take these things in juxtaposition with each other. We study them in their relationship to each other, and we go forward with what we can do today. I'm thankful to say that we're going rapidly forward with civil defense.
Mrs. Craig.
Yeah, Mr. Ellis, Colonel Hubert Schoen, who is the president of the National Association of State Civil Defense Directors, says that we need federal legislation for minimum standards for fallout shelters for the people. Otherwise, they're just going to be fly-by-night contractors that will be ineffective, costly, and the people will die in shelters that are no good. Now, what are you or any of your kind of officials doing to protect the public from just that big boondoggle?
Ms. Craig, we have distributed already 24 million pamphlets establishing minimum criteria for shelter construction. And in this pamphlet, we have five different types of shelter to fit five different situations and circumstances. Also, we have approved approximately 100 shelter programs and construction specifications, and that is known to the general public. But that still does not specifically answer your question. I would like to answer your question by telling you that the administration immediately took steps to break up this confidence game which seems to be developing in the country at the fringes. I don't think it's developed at the heart of the program, because I think there are many reputable contractors, and I am proud of the commercial interest in this program. I think it's very important. But at the fringes, you have the effort to sell a pig in a poke to the people of America. So the Federal Trade Commission has passed out word to its 10 regional offices throughout the United States to be on the alert and to protect the American public from just this sort of thing. The Better Business Bureaus are moving affirmatively in the field, and the Department of Justice is keeping its hand very closely on the pulse of this particular thing.
Well, Mr. Ellis, the papers are full of advertisements of this and that kind of a shelter. There's even telephone campaigns calling you up and say, we'll build you a shelter. Some of them say that's already approved by the civil defense authorities. Now, Colonel Schoen says you've got to have federal law aided by state and local law, not just the picture in a book that you send out to the people. How do they know?
Well, you are so right, Mrs. Craig, and the Federal Trade Commission is already armed with the authority to enjoin anyone falsely advertising or giving misleading information to the public. And I think with our Federal Trade Commission, with our independent Better Business Bureaus functioning very efficiently throughout the country, that we're going to break this up and protect our people.
We have about a minute and a half. Mr. Hackett.
Mr. Ellis, I'm sure you're familiar with the furor over whether our shelters should be equipped with guns, and if so, who should use them. We've had the opinions of some respected clergymen on both sides of this. What is your opinion in this area? How should one man protect his family shelter from outsiders?
Well, I would hope that if an emergency really ever arose, that by that time there would be enough shelters so everybody would have them, and there would be a real community cooperative venture, and this sort of a situation would never develop.
Will there be a gun in your shelter?
Frankly, I don't think so.
It seems perhaps that this, and I've heard this elsewhere, there must be some federal laws, not only on the construction of the shelters, but also on this particular area as to who has the right to keep who out.
Well, some hysteria might take place in the event of an emergency, but I've seen great heroism in plane accidents and other emergencies. In the great Texas disaster of recent months when we evacuated 400,000 people in those areas. And I'm proud of the American people, and the president is proud of them. And I think they will be unselfish.
At this point, I'm going to have to suspend our questions, and thank you very much, Mr. Ellis, for being with us.